This opportunity to have this be here with you at the in the worship service of the Macedonia Friendly Baptist Church, and we trust the Lord is in these arrangements that have been made this morning. Turn to a portion of scripture that I want to take a look at. It's found in the book of Job. Job was a very faithful character of God's word and of God and his service to God. Nothing could change Job or determine him from serving his God. But yet, Job at times had questions in his own heart, as each of us do. And this is a question that Job asked that I've often pondered myself. And I want us to think about it this morning, and it's found in Job chapter 9, first two verses. Job says this: "Then Job answered and said, I know it is so of a truth, but how should man be just with God?" Now, when we consider what Job has said there, I'm like Job. Sometimes I wonder, how can a sinful person who is full of sin, how can that person be just with God? But by the same token, I know it is of a truth. Why do I know it is of a truth? Because God's word tells me it is of a truth. And I trust and believe God's word. But yet, sometimes I'm like Job when I consider my sins. Sometimes I think I'm so vile, so full of sin, I fear I've not been born again. But yet, I learn from the scriptures that if I wasn't born again, I wouldn't even feel that way. I wouldn't have those feelings, the burden of sin that comes in the life of a child of God when we're faced with the things that we're not proud of in our life, and we know that it's sinful. But Job asked a question. I know it is of a truth, but how should a man be just with God? What I want to speak to you about, and I want to show you some scriptures that show us how it is that a man full of sin can and is just with God. How has it happened? It happens because God had to intervene between God, between a fallen man and himself to reconcile us. Reconciliation with God. That's what it took. We had to be reconciled. You see, when Adam fell in the Garden of Eden, he plunged himself and all that came forth from the seed of Adam, and that's every last one of us in this building, all that came forth from the seed of Adam were plunged into a state of death in trespasses and in sins. And there was a great gulf between fallen, sinful man and a just and holy God. It's sort of like if you were standing on one side of the Grand Canyon and the only way for your life to be saved was to leap over the canyon and get over to the other side, and you think, well, that's impossible. I can't leap over the Grand Canyon. In order for that to happen, there must be some bridge or something whereby you could cross over to the other side without falling down into the canyon. Well, that's the way it was with fallen man and God. We fell in Adam. We were dead in trespasses and in sin. And in order for us to be reconciled with God, there had to be a bridge between fallen man and a just and holy God. That bridge was the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus bridged that gap between fallen man and a just and holy God. And Jesus is right now at the throne, the right hand of the throne of God, ever ready to make intercession for us. Now we want to take some take a look at some scriptures that speak of that reconciliation with God. And we'll start in the Old Testament, and here in the book of Ezekiel, we'll read some scriptures here that talk about how we're reconciled with God. Now, under the law service, that is the Jewish nation, the nation of Israel was God's special chosen nation. And they worshiped God under the law service. And when they worshiped God, Ezekiel set some standards here that had to be done to properly worship God. And we're going to take a look at them. And what these standards that Ezekiel is talking about here are only a type and shadow of that was to come. Under the law service, they had to bring their lambs and their blood offerings to the altar, where it was slain and the blood was taken and sprinkled upon the mercy seat. That was a type and a shadow of that was to come, which was Jesus shedding his blood on Calvary's cross. Now we'll see here in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 45, and we'll begin there at verse 15. And he says, "And one lamb out of the flock, out of 200, One lamb out of the flock, out of 200, out of the fat pastures of Israel, for a meat offering, for a burnt offering, for a peace offering, to make reconciliation for them, saith the Lord God. Now there's that word, reconciliation. The scripture says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. So here, God was setting up for the nation Israel to bring their lambs and to slay them and take the blood of those lambs. And this, as I said, there's not one single lamb that was ever slain under the law service that removed one sin from one single person. All it did is bring to mind the necessity for a blood offering to redeem them from their sin. It was a type and a shadow of that was to come, which was Jesus Christ shedding his blood on Calvary's cross. Reading on down, all the people of the land shall give this oblation for the prince of Israel, and it shall be the prince's part to give burnt offerings and meat offerings and drink offerings in the feast and in the new moons and in the Sabbaths and in all solemnities of the house of Israel. He shall prepare the sin offering and the meat offering and the burnt offering and the peace offering to make reconciliation for the house of Israel. Blood had to be shed to make reconciliation between fallen man and a just and holy God. And God was setting up a situation where that would be brought to their minds. Now we want to turn over to the book of Daniel, and we'll see a picture here that Daniel saw in a vision. This was a vision that was showed to Daniel, and it was a wonderful and a great picture that Daniel saw as Daniel was praying unto God. Now, you know, Daniel was a praying man, and nowhere do you find ever that Daniel was ashamed to pray to God. He prayed to God, and even when he was cast into the lion's den, he was praying to God. And what did God do to a praying Daniel? He shut the mouths of the hungry lions so that they would not devour Daniel. But whenever they turned others out into the den of lions, they were consumed by the hungry lions. So Daniel was a praying man, and here Daniel was praying here in the ninth chapter of Daniel, and it's beginning at verse 19. He said, "O Lord, hear, O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hearken and do. Defer not for thine own sake, O my God, for thy city and thy people are called by thy name." And while I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel and presenting my supplication before the Lord, my God was the my God for the holy mountain of my God. Now here was Daniel. He was praying because of his sin. You see, he felt the weight and the burden of his sin. He felt the weight and the burden of his people Israel. And here, as he prayed, he was praying for the sins of his people. And then Daniel received a vision. It was a vision that came to him from an angel of Gabriel that he saw before. And Gabriel came and touched him on the shoulder and gave him a wonderful message about the salvation revelation that's of the Lord, about how the Lord would reconcile a sinful people with a just and holy God. He says, "Yea, while I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in a vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly by, touch, and about the time of the evening oblation, and he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding." And then in verse 23, he said, "At the beginning of the supplications, the commandment came forth, and I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved." He was showing Daniel, "I know, Daniel, you feel like you're sinful. You feel like your people are sinful. You feel like that something needs to be done about sin." He said, "You are greatly beloved. Therefore, understand the matter and consider the vision. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression." Yes, on the cross of Calvary, Jesus finished the work of redemption. We believe in the finished work of Jesus Christ. And I believe that's part of the vision here that Daniel was receiving. The finish of the transgression to make an end of sins. Yes, Christ on the cross redeemed us from our sins and removed our sins as far away from God as the east is from the west, never to be remembered against us anymore. To finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation. There it is. There's that word. The answer to Job's question, "How can a man be just before God?" God himself, through his own work and the person of his Son Jesus Christ, must reconcile us to himself, to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness. Now think of that. We're sinners, saved by the grace of God, yet by the grace of God we've had the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ our Lord and Savior, which is an everlasting righteousness, which is part of this vision that Daniel saw from the angel Gabriel, to bring in everlasting righteousness and to seal up the vision and prophecy and to anoint the Most Holy. Who was the Most Holy? Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of the living God, who came to this earth and redeemed us from our sin. We were reconciled to God in that vision that came from the angel Gabriel to Daniel. Reconciliation. We'll turn over now to the book of 2 Corinthians, where we'll find God reconciled us to himself by the person of his Son Jesus Christ. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, it says, beginning there at verse 17, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." And you know, every time I consider and think of that verse, I think of this. Think of what it says there. "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new." You know, if what the religious world is telling you today, from a state of death and trespasses and in sin, you must believe in Jesus, and after you believe in Jesus, then you receive eternal life and you become a child of God. If that were true, then belief in Jesus would be an old thing. It would be passed away. But it's not true. That's not the way it is. If a man be in Christ, it's because he's been put in Christ by the power of a sovereign sovereign God who reached down and rescued him and gave him eternal life, not offered him eternal life to accept it, but gave it to him by his own sovereign grace, rescued him from the state of death in trespasses and in sin, and gave him life. So he says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God. What all things are of God? All these new things, they come to you from God. Why? Because after you've received it, you then have God dwelling within your heart. All things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself. Now there it is, reconciliation. The answer to Job's question, how can a man be just with God? Then God must reconcile us to himself. He didn't wait for us to reconcile ourselves. God did the work. It was through Jesus, our Lord and Savior, that we've been reconciled. And he said, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. And that world that he's talking about is not the entire Adamic race. It's the world of his elect, chosen children of God that he gave to his son Jesus Christ in a covenant of grace before the world was. To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. How is it possible that a man who is a sinner could be just with God? He must be reconciled to God by the person of his son Jesus Christ. Now we turn over here to the book of Ephesians, where not the book of Ephesians, but the book of Colossians, where we'll see we've been reconciled by the blood of his cross. It says here in Colossians chapter 1, verse 20 here, it says, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. Yes, we've been reconciled unto God by the cross of Jesus Christ, by the cross where he shed his blood on the cross, God's only begotten Son, and he is the only one that could have had that blood that was necessary to redeem us from our sin. I'll give you an example. You know, there were two thieves hung with Jesus there on the cross. They both suffered the same agony and the same death as Jesus. Those two could not by their own sacrifice, by their own doings, save themselves eternally before God. Why? Because their bloodstream was from Adam. Their bloodstream was tainted. But Jesus, he was different. He was not from the seed of man. As the scripture said, he was not of the seed of man. He was of the seed of the woman, but he was not of the seed of man. He took upon himself that body of flesh that he might redeem us from our sin. And the bloodstream that he had within him was not tainted with sin like our bloodstream is. That's the doctrine of original sin, that we're all sinners in the sight of God. And we've all received our blood from our fathers who goes all the way back to Adam. But Jesus, the angel told him in the book of Matthew, fear not, Joseph, to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived within her is of the Holy Ghost. She shall shall bring forth a son. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. I like that shall, because that's a sure shall. That is a, there's no doubt in my mind about that shall. Jesus on the tree of the cross shed his blood and redeemed all that God the Father gave to him in a covenant of grace before the world was. Yes, we've been reconciled to God on the cross of Jesus Christ, by the sacrifice that he made in behalf of poor sinners. Now, one scripture in closing out thought that Job had: how can a man be just with God? He must be reconciled with God by the works of his Son Jesus Christ. We'll find in Hebrews chapter 2, it says in verse 9, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. For it became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified. Who is he that sanctifieth? Jesus. Who are they that are sanctified? All of God's children that he gave to him. And they that are sanctified or set apart are of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. And then in verse 17, he said, wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and a faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make what? Reconciliation for the sins of the people. And in that he himself hath suffered, being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. Yes, he made reconciliation for the people. So in answer to the question, Job answered, I know it is of a truth, but how is it possible that a man can be just with God? He can only be just because God himself, in his own time and in his own way, brought his son down from heaven to send him to the cross and redeemed us from our sin and reconciled us and finished the work of redemption on Calvary's cross. How can a man be just with God? Because God has made a way to reconcile us with himself through Jesus Christ our Lord. I thank you for your attention. Pray now for Elder Martin as he comes to preach to you. May the Lord bless and keep you, is my prayer.
Oh, happy day, and Christmas over.